Last week on Current State's weekly environmental segment, we learned about an attention-getting study from the University of Michigan Energy Institute. The Institute's John DiCicco said it found that biofuels are not, as often touted, carbon neutral. That is, the emissions from biofuels, like ethanol, are not entirely reabsorbed by plant life. Biofuel supporters, including our next guest, have taken issue with that report. Let's find out why with Bob Dineen, CEO. I beg your pardon. We've got a different guest here. We were originally going to have Bob Dineen on. Instead, we've got his associate, Jeff Cooper, who is affiliated with the Washington, D.C.-based Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff Cooper, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Mark. Happy to be here.
Let's get one of the most basic red flag criticism on the table first. As we explained, and as Mr. DiCicco acknowledges, the U of M study was partially funded by the American Petroleum Institute. Now, when I asked him about this, he said, among other things, that the work he'd done prior to the API study was already casting doubt on CO2 uptake and biofuels, and that he proposed it to them, not the other way around. What do you think?
Well, and I don't know whether that's true or not. I guess I'd take his word for it, but it certainly, I think, casts a little shadow of doubt over the results and conclusions of the study when, you know, when the work is fully underwritten by the American Petroleum Institute. You know, oil refiners have a very vested interest in kind of closing the market to competition and shutting out alternatives to petroleum. So
Does the underwriting discredit it completely from the get-go?
Well, no. I think what discredits the study from the get-go is just the kind of bizarre methodology that Professor DiCicco uses, and he's right. He has written similar studies in the past that take this same type of approach to carbon accounting that the rest of the world has really rejected. You know, the kind of standard methods of doing this type of carbon accounting take a much different approach to biomass, you know, crops used for biofuels and bioenergy than Professor DiCicco did.
Well, let's get into the heart of his claims here as a result of his study. It found that biofuels are not carbon neutral. Dr. DiCicco studied Ag Department data over 9 years from 2005 through 2013. Now, the data involves carbon uptake. That's the exchange of carbon from emissions to plant life and back again. Mm-hmm. And according to Mr. DiCicco, flawed computer models that have been used to compute the rate of carbon uptake thus far. This seems to be the core assertion made by his study, and we've got tape of Mr. DiCicco explaining it all. It's a long soundbite, but bear with me. I'll let him speak for himself, and then I'll get your response. Here he is.
Okay. What I did differently was say, well, wait a minute. If a cornfield is already pulling CO2 from the air when that corn is being harvested for cattle feed, for corn chips, going into our food system, however it might go into our food system, just because you then shift some of the harvest to make biofuels, have you speeded up how quickly the corn crop is pulling CO2 from the air? No, you haven't. And so I then went to the field data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and over the period that you mentioned, from 2005 through 2013, I looked at the data on crop growth and yields. I converted that to carbon uptake, which is really just a chemical calculation based on the composition of different crops, and I found that the amount of CO2 pulled out of the air over this period only amounted to 37%, just a little more than a third of the CO2 that was emitted when the biofuels were burned.
Okay, he shared a lot there, Jeff Cooper, but I'll just give you the floor here. Take a minute or two and just share where you feel he's wrong.
Sure. Well, the 37% number he's talking about is looking only at new growth, and he said at the very beginning of that soundbite that you know, existing corn acres are already pulling CO2 from the air, and that's exactly right. The problem is, though, he's not counting that carbon uptake. So the existing base of corn acres that are taking in carbon as that corn grows, he's assuming that isn't happening. He's assuming those corn plants are not sequestering CO2 from the atmosphere, and that turns the entire accepted conventions for carbon accounting on their head. I think it's very important for folks to understand the differences between the carbon cycle for biofuels and the difference for the carbon cycle of fossil fuels. With a crop like corn that's being used to produce energy, that crop is rapidly absorbing CO2 from the atmosphere as it grows. You convert that corn into ethanol, and the same amount of CO2 that it sucked from the atmosphere is then returned to the atmosphere when that biofuel is burned. So really what you have with biomass is a very rapid recycling of atmospheric carbon. It's carbon that's already present in the atmosphere, and it moves periodically from oceans into plants and into soils and then back into the atmosphere, but you're not kind of uncorking carbon that's been sequestered underground. Whereas with fossil fuels, that's exactly what you're doing.
You're introducing a new source of carbon into the atmosphere.
Absolutely. Yeah. With biofuels, it isn't new carbon. It's carbon that's been floating around in the atmosphere, and it might have been in soils for a little while, and in plants for a little while, and oceans for a little while, but it's part of that atmospheric cycle. With fossil fuels, you're taking carbonaceous material that has been locked up underground for millions or hundreds of millions of years, and when you burn that, you're venting new carbon into the atmosphere. And that's what's fundamentally changing the balance of carbon in our atmosphere and contributing to climate change.
Jeff Cooper is with the Washington, D.C.-based Renewable Fuels Association. We're discussing his disagreement with a recent study from the University of Michigan Energy Institute about carbon uptake and biofuel emissions. I was curious about John DiCicco's comments, though, about computer models. And I don't know how closely you look at these, but
sure.
I mean, we've heard in other areas, certainly in the climate discussion, computer models come up a lot. Just in forecasting the weather, computer models come up a lot. Can computer models include flawed data that distort research?
Oh, they absolutely can, and we've had our own concerns with a number of models that the government uses and that various academics use. Professor DiCicco himself used a computer model of sorts to do this kind of research. Models are just tools, and what really matters is the data that we put into these models and the quality of that input data and those assumptions. In the case of Professor DiCicco, we think he made some very bad assumptions. That's not to say the Department of Agriculture data that he used is flawed in any way. We rely on that same data for a lot of the analysis we do. But the models he's specifically referring to are managed by the Department of Energy. They've been used, by practitioners around the world for the last couple decades. And the data that goes into those models is real-world, empirical data that's collected by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and other entities. So
I know.
In many cases, we're using the same data, just applying it in a different way or making some different methodological choices.
I know biofuel advocates largely subscribe to the results of a study done by the Department of Energy, the Argonne National Laboratory,
mm-hmm.
claiming that ethanol, for one, reduces greenhouse gas emissions by an average of 34% over their life cycle. Is this a study that people in that biofuel proponents point to? And can you talk to us about that? What was the takeaway
Sure.
from that study?
Yeah, and there really are a number of studies that have reached similar conclusions, but the Argonne study you mentioned is a good one. And it looks not just at the uptake of carbon by the corn plant and then the release of carbon at the tailpipe, but it also looks at all the CO2 emissions associated with the production of biofuels, because as you know, there's energy used to plant and grow and harvest the corn. There's energy used at the ethanol plant to make it into a liquid fuel. You got to get it from the plant to the gas station. So it looks at all of that, the entire life cycle of corn ethanol, and kind of tallies up all those emissions And at the end of the day, even assuming some of the same land use emissions that Professor DiCicco assumes, you end up with a number that's about 34% lower emissions than gasoline. There are other studies that say it's probably closer to 60%.
We've taken kind of a deep dive here into biofuels emission. I'd like to get back up off planet Earth here just a little ways and ask you a 5 miles up kind of question. What's the most noticeable trend in the renewable fuels field just in the past year or two, let's say? What do you see happening out there that is really noticeable and noteworthy?
Well, I think what we're very excited about is we're seeing kind of the first generation biofuels industry, which is primarily corn ethanol, really experiencing a technological evolution of sorts. We have, you know, plants that were built 10 or 15 years ago that are adopting new technologies and new processes where they're making ethanol not just from corn starch, but also the cellulosic fractions of the corn plant, or, you know, what we consider to be kind of the residue or waste portions of the crop. So we're seeing, you know, facilities kind of move into a new generation of feedstocks, wastes and residues, and doing that economically even when we have, you know, fairly low oil prices.
All right.
So it's very exciting to see.
We want to thank our guest, Jeff Cooper of the Washington, D.C.-based Renewable Fuels Association. We've been talking about biofuel emissions and carbon uptake and what it all means. Jeff, thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark.